John chapter number 9, the Gospel of John chapter number 9. And I do want just to read a few verses. This is a very familiar text when the Lord heals the man born blind. And there's some nuggets in here that I've said this many times. The Bible is inexhaustible. You'll never exhaust it. I know there's no scripture of any private interpretation. You can't say, well, I believe it's interpreted this way. Me, I believe it's interpreted that way. There's only one interpretation per text, but yet there's many applications. Right. And man, there's just so many nuggets that come out in our heart in scripture. You think you've studied something and more just comes out. But this text is one of those. And I do want to just mention what I'm going to be preaching on tonight quickly. Three truths for handling hardship. Three truths for handling hardship. Notice verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And the neighbors, therefore, and they which beforehand seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. I'm glad he cleared that up. Amen. Amen. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? I like his answer. And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Now may the Lord add his blessings. Now, to break down these verses, to stay expository, so to speak, in the message, there's some truths here that I want to share with you. In verse 1 and 2, we see the reason mistaken. Jesus passed by and he saw the man that was blind from his birth. Now, again, his disciples understood that as well. So apparently that was common knowledge, or they discussed it. But the Lord, they knew that this man was blind. Maybe he was one that was talking about it. This man's begging in town. Poor man's been blind all his life. You know how we are in these towns. Everybody knows everything about everybody, don't know nothing about nobody. Amen. We just think we do. Amen. So he was born blind. Bless his heart. Then the disciples, they ask a question. All right, he's born blind. He's blind from his birth. So he'd been blind from his birth, so we understand he didn't do anything. So who did sin? His mom or his daddy? What did they do to cause this on their son? So we see their reason was mistaken. In verse 1 and 2, Jesus, we see a response manifested. In verses 3 through 5, Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, I'm going to come back to this. Folks, there's a lesson here about assumptions. We're all guilty. Go ahead and say old me to that. Don't amen it, old me it. Assumptions. They were used, and if I get time, I'll get to it, but they were used to the status quo of judgment upon people that had sinned, and God would judge them through different things. So they automatically said, you know what? Somebody messed up. And the Lord quickly corrected that. Now, he didn't rebuke them, but he corrected them. He didn't fuss at them. But he did explain to them, hey, nobody sinned. This man didn't sin, nor his parents didn't sin, but I got a plan for him. I've had a plan for this young man since the day he was born. It was my will that he was born blind, that the works of God may be manifest in his life. Don't ever assume because somebody's going through something or has something in their life that's automatically is sin. Can I say something to you? We in sinful bodies. And sinful bodies get sick, but it may not be because of a particular sin they've committed. See, we're born after Adam. Man that's born with one, a few days full of trouble, and we understand we're in this natural state, we're sinners. But it doesn't mean that a particular sin put them there. Now, we could go back to John 5. You remember John 5? The man that laid 38 years and tried to get in the pool. At a certain season, an angel came and troubled the water. The first one in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. When the Lord healed that man, what did he tell him? Go and do what? Sin no more. Now, that tells me that man put himself in that position. But also tells me, you know who the one that tells us these things? Jesus. Jesus is the one that knows, and he'll deal with his young'uns. If you're born again, the Spirit of God lives within you. Hey, he'll let you know. And sometimes he'll let you know, but it'll be later. I'm not trying to add to the scriptures, but probably if it was me, and I was born blind, and I was having to sit by the road begging, and so far, I'd probably done ask the Lord, why in the world did you make me like this? Maybe he prayed, humbly prayed, Lord, I grew up, I couldn't play sports, I couldn't be involved in anything at school, I couldn't do anything because I was blind from my birth. Lord, why you have me like this? But the day came, the Lord let him know. And he didn't understand. He said, all I can tell you is this. There's a man named Jesus that passed by. Amen. And he told me he spit in the sand, made a little clay, and he put it in my eyes. And he said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. He said, you know what? I did all of that. He said, when I washed all that out, I could see. We don't understand it all, what's going on in my life, your life, but we assume things about each other. That's not our business. What our business is to be there, to be prayerful, to be supporting. Amen. And to help them. The Bible said, if you find a brother in fault, you which are spiritual, you go to that person in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. But anyway, we find the reason mistaken. We find a response manifested. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's a lesson in verse 4 I don't have time to preach. Hey, whatever you're going to do for the Lord, you better get to doing it. I must. That's an urgency. The Lord knew his hour was coming. Folks, we don't know when our hour is coming. I don't want to leave this world with unfinished business. I want to leave this world like Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. That's how I want to leave here. So whatever we're going to do for God, we better put things aside and get to doing it. But then we see the remedy made, and I done preached on that. He had thus spoken. He spat on the ground and made clay and of the spittle and anointed his eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Thank God. Then we see the reaction of the multitude. They're trying to figure it out. Is it him? No, it looks like him. It's somebody like him. It's somebody that favors him. No, I think it's him. And the boy said, hold it. It's me. And he gave an open testimony of what the Lord did for him. But noticing this man, this young man, in the text we learn some practical lessons from an experience by a man that had never seen the light of day. He's going through a hardship he had no part in creating, and a hardship that he surely did not ask for. Maybe you're here today and you're going through a hardship today. It don't have to be like this. Hardships come in all shapes, sizes, and situations. Things come our way, storms. We talk about the storms in the Bible, the storms that Christ went through with the disciples, the storms that Paul went through with Yerachalon, that big tempest wind. I was trying to pronounce it, but my tongue ain't working tonight. Yerachalon. I don't know if I stop long enough, I can say it. Thank you, brother. But anyway, you're as surprised about it as I am, ain't you? But anyway, all those are pictures of spiritual storms, and most times storms come when you least expect them. Hardships come when you least expect them. Amen. If we knew the storm was coming or the hardship was coming, we'd try to make some preparations, but bam, out of the blue, they come. Our family just went through one a few months ago. So many of you families just went through some. Again, you weren't expecting that. Amen. But there they are. There they are. Is the Lord unfair? No, man, we're purchased possessions. Folks, we're not going to hell. He saved us from hell. We belong to God. Amen. And whatever he can do through me to bring honor to his name, I say so be it, even though I don't want to be sick. Even though I don't want my family sick. I don't want to go through a hardship. But God knows how to bring glory, get glory and honor to himself through us. I don't want him to have to drag it out of me. I was raised old school. You say, well, cause you old, preacher. I was raised old school. Some of y'all were thinking it. But the Bible said foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and I was foolish. And my daddy would say, you can either stop it on your own, or I'm going to beat it out of you. You can behave, or you can do right, make right decisions, or I'll whip it in you. And many times he whipped it in me. I know this generation don't like to hear that kind of stuff, and I don't believe in abusing children, but I believe in not sparing the rod either. Do you understand that we're fearfully and wonderfully made? Y'all believe that verse? But God fearfully and wonderfully made a place to do that on. I know for a fact he did. And some of us big boys just got extra cushions say hallelujah. But the Lord may have to chasten glory out of me. As a matter of fact, all chastening is to produce his holiness, according to the book of Hebrews. To produce holiness in us. But I want to notice quickly, my time's about gone. I want to notice quickly three things about hardships. Again, we've established that this boy is going through a hardship that he didn't want, he didn't ask for, he didn't bring it on himself. It was the will of God. You understand? It was the will of God that he go through this hardship. That's what God ordained for his life. I don't know exactly how old he was here. Some of you may have studied even deeper and come up with a number. But he's a man now because his parents said he's of age. He's a grown man at this point. So however long that was, he could have been in his 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I don't know. But the day came where God stepped in. So what about hardships? You're going through a hardship and you know that you didn't ask for it. You know that you did nothing to cause it. But for some reason, you're going through it. For some reason, the hardship, whatever it is upon you. And you're battling this. Folks, hardships, especially like this that you don't understand, I understand chastening. I know when God's doing it to me. I'm sorry, I do. I was just talking to a man the other day, and I said, hey, when you don't seem like prayers are getting answered, the first place to start is to search your own heart. Lord, is it me? Lord, is it me? You remember the Lord told the disciples that one of y'all going to betray me. What did they start doing? Examining their own heart. Lord, is it me? Lord, is it me? Did I cause it? Am I going to be the one to do it? And I think that's a good place to start. Don't say, well, the devil or somebody in the family or somebody called. No, first place to start, Lord, examine me. That's what David said. Right. Examine me, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. When's the last time? Let me park a little bit. When's the last time you've asked the Lord to examine you? No, we want the Lord to examine others. Because nobody can do an x-ray like Jesus. Nobody can give a spiritual MRI like Christ. Nobody can give a spiritual PET scan like the Lord. And hey, if you're concerned about where you are in your life, I think that's a prayer you need to consider praying. And you don't have to broadcast it. Nobody said that. But you and God can do some business together. And then you can begin to make corrections to that. So I know when the Lord's chastening me. And I know why. I didn't get one whipping when I was growing up that I didn't understand why I was getting it. I didn't like it, and I was pleading for mercy, but I knew why I was getting it. And I knew that my earthly father had been long-suffering to me. One chance, one warning after another. But I was rebellious. And when I'm spiritually chastened, I understand it. So again, preacher, I've searched my heart. I've asked God to examine me. And I'm going through whatever this is. I don't understand it. There's three things. You said, preacher, you've been saying that for 15 minutes. There's three things that you need to understand. These are so simple, but they're so profound to me. That you need to understand when you're going through hardships. Number one, hardships does not mean God is absent from you. Amen. Think about it. I tell you how simple that was, but that's profound. Hardships does not mean that God is absent from you. Verse number one. Jesus passed by. He saw the man. He saw this man. This man never saw him. But Jesus saw him. The blind man never seen Christ's face. See, he was in the dark, literally. But that didn't mean because he couldn't see him that he wasn't there. And folks, a lot of times when we're going through hardships, it just seems like the Lord is not there. Have you ever been going through a hardship, a trial, a tribulation, whatever you want to call it, it's all the same, and then you try to pray, and it feels like heaven's doors is closed and chained? Do you understand that the teacher is always silent during a test? Do you understand that? But the teacher's there. Folks, hardships, don't think when you're going through a hardship and it's not the time that God wants to reveal anything yet. And sometimes he can reveal something in a matter of a minute. But in the case of this young man here, it could be a matter of years. I know people that's been going through physical ailments. They was once healthy and all of a sudden just boom, they fell sick and they've been sick for years. Been hurting for years. I don't understand it either. They're going through a hardship. But I can tell, if it's you, I can tell you tonight, hey, that doesn't mean the Lord's absent from you. I mean, get a hold of this. Nobody in town, none of his neighbors, understood it either. The disciples assumed wrong. So that's what you're going to have to put up with. You're going through a hardship. Super spiritual people comes out and says, you've sinned. You got sin in your life. I understand that statement, but we all have sin in our lives to a certain aspect. I'm not talking about open, gross sin. We're living like the devil. But folks, in our flesh dwells no good thing. And if the Lord give us justice even after we've been saved, he'd kill us all tonight. But they already assume, hey, do you have to put up with that? You don't know what's going on. You've been like this for so many years. You don't know what's happening. And everybody else is assuming wrong. And then all of a sudden, you can't see the Lord through the eyes of faith. It seems like everything's really darkened on you. But it does not mean he's not there. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. How many times the disciples thought that the Lord wasn't there? You understand when the Lord compelled them to get into the ship and go to the other part of the sea, other side of the sea, that he went up to the mountain to pray. Well, who do you think he was watching and praying for? What was coming upon them, he was up here, he could see it coming. And he was already praying for them. Folks, you understand, he's on the throne. He's in control of everything, and he sees everything. And if it's his will for us to go through a hardship, he sees it coming. He's already making intercession for you. Don't ever forget that. The Lord is already making intercession. He's already praying for you. What did he tell Peter? He said, Peter, you know what? I'm going to have to break it to you. The devil has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Whew. He's doing it for you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So hardships do not mean God's absent from you. Number two, only have three, I think. Hardships does not mean God is angry with you. It doesn't mean God's absent from you. It doesn't mean God's angry at you. Verse 2 and 3 again. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He's not mad at this boy. Again, we mentioned the man in John 5. I won't mention that again. But you got to remember, in this text, in this time period, there were three beliefs going or floating around. One was that was of reincarnation. Apparently this boy may have sinned in a previous life. Nonsense. Then prenatal sin. They mentioned that. Well, they didn't mention that, but they actually believed that the child sinned in the womb. Some did. Nonsense. Then parental sin. The parents had sinned. That was the three things in that time period that people held to that were heathen, didn't know God. And he lived some other time, and he must have sinned in that life. You know, that's what they thought about Paul when he was sailing to Rome. They weren't saying he reincarnated, but what they said was, he was a prisoner for the gospel's sake, and they didn't know that. They just knew he was a prisoner. And then when he made it out of that Eurocladon, brother, I said it twice, out of that big storm, and he survived, they said, hey, God's getting him now, when that viper hooked on him. And he just shook it off. He said, I don't think so. Shook it off. So all three of those beliefs were wrong. We know that the first two is definitely wrong, and the Lord cleared up. And even the disciples knew those two was wrong. They didn't even mention it. So they said it had to be his parents. And the Lord confirmed that no one had caused this sin, but God caused this condition, I'm sorry. But God allowed it to do a work to prove who he was. You know what? The Lord put, y'all get a hold of this. The Spirit of God just showed me this. The Lord put this young man in the spotlight so that Christ could get in the spotlight.
Amen.
See, the Lord never puts us in the spotlight that we can have the spotlight. He puts us in the spotlight so He can get the spotlight. Don't ever forget that. Let that sink in. The Lord never puts us in the spotlight so we can be lifted up in our own pride. If God puts you in the spotlight and does something for you, it's for Him to get the glory and for you to testify of what He did, just like this young man. God knowed what. Hey, He knew this boy's going to give Him the glory. He didn't understand it all, but He said, hey, Jesus did this. He never took any credit. He didn't become a sideshow to make money. Oh, I'm miraculously healed and blind. No, He said, all I can tell you is this. Whereas I was blind, now I see. And Jesus passed by. So remember, hardships do not mean God's absent. Hardships does not mean God's angry. But here's one hard to swallow. And we see in verse 6 and 7, hardships does not mean God will alleviate you or even make your time easy. The word alleviate simply means to make light or less. Look at verse 6 and 7. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now, again, we understand that Christ could have said, see. Or he could have just looked at him and he got his sight back. Here this boy was, he was already blind in total darkness, and then the Lord puts dirt in his eye. I mean, honestly, the Lord spit in his eye. Spit made clay. He put it on his eyes, and he said, have any of you preachers on the front? Any of you preachers? How far he walked to the pool of Siloam? Y'all know that? Good, I don't either. But can you imagine? Let's just say it was a mile. Let's say it was a half a mile. It could have been 5 miles. Somebody's going to do the research on that, and I'm going to put it in my notes for the next time I preach it. Don't be Googling nothing on that while I'm preaching that. That like you're super spiritual and you just Google it. I ain't against Google, but don't do it right now, right? But I mean, honestly, you think about it humanly. Lord, this boy's been in, this. He's been blind all his life. And you gonna ask him to do that? You gonna ask him, Lord, you can just speak it. And you're now. I mean, his ways are not our ways. In verse 11, the boy recounted the whole situation. And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. What in the world is going on here? The Lord didn't give him, listen to this. The Lord didn't give him an immediate cure. What he did was give him an immediate command. Now get that. He didn't give him an immediate cure, but he gave an immediate command. Preacher, what are you trying to say? There had to be obedience before operation. Amen. Obedience and faith before operation. No, but notice this. It's not in what Jesus said, but it's also in what Jesus didn't say. Jesus never said, go wash in the pool of Siloam and ye shall see. He never said that. He's told him to go wash his eyes out. He just had to, by faith, trust that God was going to touch him. You remember, was it Gehazi? Had leprosy? Somebody nod. See, I got that name right. And his little Jew maiden, his wife's Jew maiden, said, look, he was a man of power and authority. And he's full of leprosy. And they said, there's a man in Israel that can help you. And Elisha said, hey, he knocked on the door. Elisha wouldn't even come to the door. He told his servant, said, tell him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan. Was it the Jordan? Yeah. Old boy got mad. He said, I figured he could at least come out and say something, do something. And his servant said, hey, I'm paraphrasing. What's it going to hurt? He said, there's better water than that on Nasty Jordan. I don't want to go down there. And he said, hey, just, he could have come and just spoke something over me and I'd have been healed. But that ain't what God wanted to do. See, I like stuff to come easy and quick. But that's just not how God works through hardship sometimes. He wants to see during the hardship if we're still going to be obedient and faithful. Grab that with your heart. Preacher, I don't know why my life keeps spiraling down, or I don't know why I can't get out of this tunnel that I'm in life. I don't know why. Because you want to do nothing and God do everything. We want to do nothing. Just sit there and God just... Sometimes he wants you to say, hey, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to obey you and do what's right. And I'm going to trust you with everything else. I'm going to trust you with the hardship. I'm going to trust you whatever this is. And I'm going to do what I know your will is for me. See, that man could have said, look, you realize I'm blind. You just made me, and I don't know if this is the right word, you just made me blinder. More blind. I mean, you spitting and putting it in my eyes. And now you're telling me to go. Folks, I don't see where he had anybody helping him get there. Everything was by faith and not by sight in his life. Literally and spiritually, it was all by faith and not by sight. And he's getting there. He's getting there. He's getting there. And when he got there, he washed it out. Can you imagine how clear? I believe he had perfect 20/20. The Lord didn't say, I'm going to heal you, but I'm going to give you 20/40. And I believe he had perfect vision to the day he died. But the Lord just didn't make it easy. The Lord wanted to try his faith. Can you imagine already how frustrating his life was and how belittled he was and how poor he was and how awful his life was? I mean, just awful. And some people would say, who does the Lord think he is? Well, he's God. And beside him, there's none else. He don't have to ask our permission for anything. But he demands obedience and faith. By the grace of God, I'm just going to do what's right and trust the Lord with it. I'm going to do what I know he's told us to do in his word, and I'm going to trust him with it. Can I say something to you? Nobody can pay your bills like Jesus. And I'm not talking about being a deadbeat. Nobody can give you a career like Jesus. Nobody can take care of your children like Jesus. Nobody can handle your life like Christ. Just go ahead and get in with it. Just go ahead and fall in with him and do what you know to do. And then let him put things in order. Folks, some of us have worked ourselves to the bone trying to fix what only God can fix. I've been there. I'm there partly now in something. And I remember why I talk. I said, we've got to give this to the Lord. But it's hard sometimes to turn that loose and just do what God's, just be faithful. It's hard. But I realize that's the only way to get it done. Hardships. Hardships don't mean God's absent. They don't mean God's angry. It don't mean God's going to alleviate it either. Help us, Lord. Let's all stand. Courtney's coming. Heads about.